Let's read together. The Lord manifested in them great glory. Oh, well, that's not, that's your part. I just gave it.
Larry.
Sorry about that.
Larry, our father.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Could we stand up, praise for? Joanne's not here today. I'm all messed up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Bride. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's our Lord's prayer. Hallelujah. Be seated. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Why do we do that? Because we want to put God first. That's why we do the Lord's Prayer. We want to put God first. Above all things. Above man. How many know that men have rules and God's have rules? Amen? But God's rules are not to be bound over us, to tighten us. God's teaching, God's rules are to give us a better life. If we just follow what he preaches, we have a better life. Say that with me. A better life. We have better chances to succeed. We have better chances to find favor with people. We were just talking to Cassie. We all remember Cassie. She went to college in Massachusetts. She found favor with her teachers, her professors. And I reminded her. I did. I was bold enough to remind her. I said, the day you were here and you were going to college, we prayed that you would find favor with your teachers and professors. You understand, sometimes when you're younger, you don't see it that way, Sergio. You don't see, well, look what I did. I was so good, this teacher liked me. No, we prayed that you would find favor, and she has. And I'll give the testimony because she's not here today. But I want you to know that God hears your prayers. He hears them, every single prayer that you make. But you got to get out of his way sometimes. Right, Gene? You got to get out of your comfort zone. And when you get out of that comfort zone, so many great things can happen in your life. Imagine that. Thank you, Lord. Let us now praise famous men and our fathers that begot us.
The Lord manifested in them great glory in his mighty power from the beginning.
Such as did bear rule in their kingdom and were men renowned for their power.
Theirs are the people by the councils and by men learning for the people.
All these were honored in their generations and were a glory in their days.
There be of them that have left the name behind them to declare their faith.
And some there be which have no memorial, who are perished as though they had not been.
And are become as though they had not been born, and their children after them.
But these were men of mercy, whose righteous deeds have not been forgotten.
With their seed shall remain continually a good inheritance. Their children are within the covenant.
Hallelujah. Their seed standeth fast, and their children for their sakes.
Their seed shall remain forever, and their glory shall not be blotted out.
We have a wonderful God. Their bodies were buried in peace, and their names liveth to all generations.
People will declare their wisdom, and the congregation telleth out their praise.
Hallelujah. They weren't great men with wealth and riches. They weren't great men with titles. They were men who sacrificed and who gave and who helped others. Those are great, the great men in God's eyes. I want to be great in God's eyes. Can I get an amen? And you all want to be great in God's eyes. You know, you hear all this stuff going on. I want God's approval. I want God's approval for our church. I'm believing for greater things than I'm sure a lot of you would believe with me, because I have faith beyond faith. I just believe God. I trust God. I believe God. Do I make mistakes every single day? But my God would rather see me make mistakes because I love him than not care anything about him at all and just go about my life. And I believe that each one of us can be great in God's eyes. I believe that, George Marsh. I believe you can be great in God's eyes. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a name. And we're going to talk about that today. Hallelujah. God bless you. How many more we got? Two. Three for a day. Praise the Lord. Marty, how are you?
Hey.
You doing all right, brother?
Nice.
How's the music? You singing a lot?
They were in Florida. Good.
I know they were in Florida. I can tell the tan. I can hardly see them from there. I asked Sergio a question before. Who would he be in the Bible? So I would ask each and every one of you, Dave, I would ask you, Fred, who would you be in the Bible? What if the Bible was written, if Jesus came back today and said, I'm going to write another testament, but I'm going to use all you folks, who would you be? What would he write about you? How would it be? Would you say, well, he wouldn't even know me because I just have a normal job and I don't do anything great. I'm a postman, and what would he see? But he serves, friends serves the public. Amen? The postman serves the public. So everybody knows him. See, so if God came back today, Marilyn, what would he, who would he call you? What person in this Bible would you represent if they were going to write about it? And that's what I prayed about this week. And I had a lot of fun with this. So I hope you have a lot of fun with me, because I might get in a little trouble in a couple of spots here, so I need your support, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Now, if you were going to be somebody in the Bible, who would it be? And I excluded Job, of course. You know the story of Job. He lost his everything. He lost his family, his children, the whole thing, because of a deal with the things going on. And I said, well, don't be Job, because that wouldn't be realistic today. And then I thought of Mother Mary. Not that Mary, but Mother Mary. And I thought, no, ladies, don't, because she was the mother of Jesus, God's only begotten son. But what she had to go through, being Mary, you know, being Jesus' mother, seeing what her son had to go through, nobody should want that. Mary was chosen because of the, but so, and then there was Mary Magdalene. Remember Mary Magdalene? She had seven, of course, according to the Bible, she had seven demons that God, Jesus, removed, healed her from. And she loved him so much after that she only wanted to be with Jesus. She dedicated the rest of her life, her and her friends. How many know that, you know, Mary Magdalene was from wealth? She did have wealth, and her friends actually, according to the Bible, sponsored and supported Jesus in the ministry and the disciples. They actually went with them and actually helped them paying for certain things. They traveled according to the Bible, not according to your pastor. These were women of place, of wealth. And you ever notice that the Bible never refers to the women as ladies? It's always women. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's how God sees your woman. Hallelujah. So I started thinking, who would you be? I'll start with the ladies first. I got a couple for the ladies. I thought it'd be fun. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I had it right here. Where are you? Mm-hmm. Thank you. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. You all know what that is? It was called spikenard. It's a fragrant ointment imported from the mountains of India. Now, Jesus comes in the house, and this woman has an alabaster, which is a very expensive casing that you put it in, that holds it in there. She had this, and if you would study it further, you'll understand that this oil and this alabaster was probably worth this woman's yearly salary. Probably it was hundreds of dollars they could have sold it for. And you'll hear about it in a minute, but I want to explain that. So let me go back. And a woman came to him. Who came to him? A woman, see? Well, women don't have a place in this Bible. Women are all over this Bible. Without women, we wouldn't have this Bible. That's true. I'm sorry, guys. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always." How long do you have the poor with you? God is saying there will always be poor. There will always be. He said, "You will have the poor with you always. But me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." And now listen to this one line, ladies. Listen to what he says about this woman. This little woman, this woman who just lived in the house where Jesus was visiting. She wasn't a queen. She was. Listen, assuredly I say to you. Jesus is saying, assuredly I say to you, what wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, where? In the whole world. this is Jesus now. Assuredly, I say, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. How about that? Mary, she was the youngest sister. Amen? She was more concerned about having Jesus in her home than making the home perfect for Jesus. You understand what I mean? She wasn't. Now, let me read some more. I want you to understand, because I want you to see the difference. I want you to see which one you would be and how this would be in your life. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read Luke's version. Listen to this with me. Could men, hang on, because you're next. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. This is Luke 10:38. Now it happened as he went to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now this isn't Martha. This isn't Mary. This is Martha, Mary's older sister. Anybody here have an older sister? Anybody here, anybody who, never mind. I'm going to get in big trouble, babe. This is not going to work out for my benefit today. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed her into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Mary was concerned about having Jesus in her home, making the home perfect for Jesus. More than making, she wasn't worried about how the house looked. Understand that. She wasn't as worried because Jesus was in her house. That was her concern. She wanted to bless him. She wanted to do for him. She wanted to serve him while he was there. Can I get an amen? She was more concerned about taking care of his needs and hearing his word than cooking and cleaning. Now, is that right or wrong? No. Say that with me. It's not right or wrong. God, I got to get out of this. But what she did, what Mary did, Jesus, listen to what he said. She will be remembered every time the Bible is read, when that is preached. Jesus is saying Mary will be remembered. Why not Martha? Martha's cleaning the house and cooking and making sure everything's clean and the table's set, and she's got all the details. She's so busy, she doesn't have time for who? Hallelujah. It's like you don't have time for your company when you want things so perfect in your house. You want everything to look good. You forget to have time for your company. Amen? It's not right or wrong. It's just what the difference is. What this woman did. I love what it says. I want to read that again. I just want to read that again. Assuredly, this is Jesus speaking. If however you hear him speaking, listen. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you more concerned about planning and running than about taking the time to enjoy life, to enjoy God? Do you have so much going on around you that you can't enjoy the thing that you should enjoy most? The people around you, the love around you, the family around you. Mary chose the precious time she had with Jesus. And I wrote here, does your life get so busy that you find less time to simply enjoy your blessings? Amen. Chuck and Marilyn take time every week. They go to this little club that they've been, not little, I don't mean little, but they go to this club and they go fishing together. My God, what a blessing that is. They don't worry about anything. They don't worry about the house. They don't worry about, they go fishing together. He caught a big bass this week. And I'm saying, there, you got to take time. You can't let things become so, get so around you that you forget to enjoy. Does your life get so busy that you find less time to simply enjoy your blessings? What this woman did, a memorial. Now, understand this. She was the younger sister. Martha was the older sister. You heard about Martha, amen? The older sister, she was responsible. I'm responsible. I'm focused on details. Right, Jim? You better back me up, pal. She's focused on the house. Jesus is coming. I got to make sure the house is perfect. Does Jesus care? No.
Does he even look? No. Does Jesus even say, look how beautiful the house is? No. But he talks about Mary who sat at his feet and spilled the oil on his head to bless him, anoint him. Hallelujah. Back me up, Jim. Martha was simply used to being in control. And it's a great thing. Martha was going to take care of things, and she did. But she got so lost in all that, she forgot to enjoy the life, the blessings, the day, the time, to be with Jesus. If you have company coming over and you get so crazy lost in everything, then all of a sudden you forget to simply enjoy. If you're looking to make sure this is clean or that's right, you're making people nervous. You're making people feel uneasy because they can't be that way. Amen? And that's what Martha was doing. She wasn't wrong. Let me say that again. She wasn't wrong. She just wished to please, to serve, but she made others nervous and uncomfortable at times. Martha forgot the personal attention to her guest. The what? The personal attention. It never says anything about the conversation she might have had. And Jesus was speaking, and Martha was too busy to hear what he was saying. Amen? That's the difference, ladies. That's the difference. Taking time to share in the meal. Taking time to sit and share instead of worrying about, I got to clean this. I got to clean it. I don't have time to sit and enjoy. Martha made this beautiful meal, and then she doesn't have time to enjoy it with Jesus. Amen? To sit and listen instead of her focus was on things around her. Things others would not notice at all. Is it right or wrong? No. But I want you to understand the blessings that are missed, the little things that are missed, the peace that is missed, and the way that it makes other people feel. Martha made other people feel a little nervous. What if something happened and I spilled something? What if Martha would be right there? Like, and you understand what I'm saying? She made other people. They couldn't be like that. So when they were around her, they felt a little apprehensive. Amen. Now her frustration with her little sister caused her to openly ask Jesus for help. That's what Luke tells us. Her little sister is there with Jesus, and Martha, bless you. And Martha's saying, "Hey, I'm doing all the work here. Why can't she help me?" And Jesus looks up at her. And does she get the answer from him that she wanted? I don't think so. Perfection can cause others to feel very uneasy. She missed the fact that people loved her. Let me say that again, church. Martha missed the fact that people loved her. Mary loved her. Jesus was in her house. He loved her. Amen. Everybody around her loved her. She misses that. She's wonderful without the details. What Jesus wanted. Say that with me, church. What Jesus wanted was her company. That's all he came for, was to come. If there was no food, would he have cared? No. If there was nothing to drink, he wanted their company. He wanted to sit with them and talk to them. Hallelujah. That's what our friends want. She wanted her company, to enjoy each other. And she missed that. She missed it completely. And there's another little story about Martha that you might have missed that is quite interesting. Now, they have an older brother. His name is Lazarus, Greg. And Lazarus is very sick. So they call for Jesus, say, "Jesus, if you come to my house, I know you could heal Lazarus." So Jesus said, "I'm coming." How many have ever prayed to God and waiting for the answer? And God has said the answer's coming. Can I get an amen? Y'all waiting for something. God said the answer's coming. So Jesus told them, "I'll be there." Well, in the meantime, don't you know, Lazarus gets sicker, and guess what Lazarus happens? He dies. He dead. Boy, they're just like, and here comes Jesus. And he's coming to do what? To heal Lazarus. And they see him coming, say, "Oh, well, and I know you could do it, Jesus. I know that if you were here, you could do it. But it's too late now." And they call Mary and tell her Mary's in. And here's the story goes. Mary runs out. And what do you think she does? She falls to his feet and praises him and loves him. And Martha comes. And what do you think Miss Detail does? Martha says to Jesus, "Oh, I know you could have saved him if he was alive, but it's too late." And Jesus said, "No." And Martha says, "Jesus, don't move the stone. It's been 4 days. It's going to stink really bad in there." Again, the details. She was more afraid of what was behind the stone instead of having faith in God who was going to raise him from the dead. She tells him in the Bible, she says, no, don't do that. It's going to be really bad. You open that stone now, it's been 4 days. And he just loved her through it. He loved her through it. That's the part you got to understand. He loved her through that. But Martha forgot who she was talking to, forgot who she was dealing with. She forgot to love everyone. She forgot to realize how much people love her. That is so important, church, to let you know how much people love you. You're all here today, and I love you for it. I truly do. But trust me, other people love the fact that you're here today. Amen? I know Dave loves the track because Dave and I are believing for this church to grow, and I'm trying. We're all trying for the same thing. So when you all come to church on Sunday, good to see you guys. Thank you again. We feel happy. We feel blessed that you're here today. Amen? And this part of this story, to understand how much you mean to us and how much we want to mean to you, is what church is all about. And Martha continually, because she was so stuck on detail, wanting to be, that she forgot to enjoy. My God, she was so worried about something being on the floor that she forgot to enjoy Jesus. Just like sometimes we forget to enjoy our friends, our neighbors, amen? The blessings that we have. Okay, ladies, I don't know if any one of those two got to you today. Hallelujah. Even don't open that stone, Jesus, Lord. Jesus, Lord, don't do it. No. I know you're God and you can do all things, Lord, but don't open that stone because it's going to smell really bad in there. Move over. Pardon me. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if any ladies can put that in their life and make you, but because I want you to know, Pat, what your name would be in that Bible. I want you to know if Jesus came back today and he's going to write about Pat, what he would say about you. Because he thinks you're great. He does. He calls you a sister. Do you know that? He calls you a sister, a mother. Jesus calls you. George, he calls you a father. Dave, I want to know if God came back, what would he see Dave doing for his kingdom? What kind of thing? Because there'd be great things about you, Dave, in the Bible because of great things you do. But where would we all fall short? Let me say that again. Where would we all fall short? Because how many know we all fall short? Hallelujah. Okay, now there's another man in the Bible. He's a fisherman. I don't mean like, you know, the guys that go on the lake and fish. I mean his lifestyle. His living. He made a living as a fisherman. Imagine that. He wasn't a professor. He wasn't a doctor. He wasn't a lawyer. He was a fisherman. His name was Simon Bar-Jonah. And Jesus called him. Imagine that, Sergio. He called him. Because, let me say this, Jesus never looks for perfection. He looks for people willing to change, willing to listen, willing to change and learn, and willing to serve others. That's who he's looking for. He's looking for people willing to have a heart that moves a little closer to him. Can I get an amen? Jesus accepts us in spite of our failures. So he calls Peter. And he said, Peter, I want you to serve me. And Peter leaves his business. Anybody here run their own business? Understand, Peter was running his own business. He was a professional fisherman. That's how he made his living. If he didn't catch any fish, he didn't eat. God called this fisherman to come to him. Now he knows that Peter is impulsive. How many remember that in the Bible? So some of you might be a little impulsive. Peter was the one when they came to the garden in Gethsemane, when they came to get him, what did Peter do? He took out his sword and cut off the guy's ear that was coming, one of the people coming to arrest Jesus. That's impulsive. He just took that sword and he cut the guy's ear off. You're not taking him. And what did Jesus do? I love that story. He picks up the ear according to the book of Luke, Reagan, and he heals the ear. He said, allow me this. That's what Jesus said. Went over to the guard and he said, allow me this, and heals the ear. And we don't see it, but the movie was so great because the guy had to look on his face like, who is this guy who just healed me? But that's Peter. He's bold. He was without discipline, but Jesus picked him. Anybody here bold without discipline sometimes? There you go, Fred. Thank you very much for the honesty. Now, there's a time in the Bible. Let me see if I can find it. I want to find it. I want to read it. I know I had it here somewhere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Fred. Truly. People listen to our sermons, and I think that's a blessing. At least I hope it's a blessing. This is the Peter Jesus picks. All of a sudden, he says to him, 16. Then Peter, from the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Listen, from the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes to be killed and to be raised from the third day. He started it. Then Peter, who? Peter, the fisherman. Little bold, little this, took him aside. He took, come here, Jesus, come here, come over here, come here. And he began to rebuke Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord, you shall not happen to you. And listen to what Jesus says. Don't be offended. Please, if something happens and you feel, just don't be offended because God loves you. But at that moment, Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not minded of the things of God, but the things of men. Imagine that. He loves Peter, Pat. But at that moment, who was he called Peter? Satan. Imagine that. But he still chose him to be a disciple because he knew the attitude. He knew Peter's heart. He knew Peter would serve him. He knew Peter was ready to learn. Amen? Ready, Peter. That might be you today. You might feel that you don't know yet, but your name might be in there, Lisa. I don't know if you're Mary or Martha and Franny, but I'm saying that Peter was just like we were. Amen? He calls him Satan. Satan, don't be upset if God calls you something to shake you up. There's times in the Bible when you're reading, and I know you're all reading your Bible now, that he calls Peter Simon. Do you know why he calls Peter Simon? No, he calls him Peter. He gave him the name Peter. You are the rock and your faith. And he calls him Simon sometimes because Peter turns back to Simon. When his faith is his faith, when Peter messes up a little bit and his faith gets weak, Sergio, Jesus calls him Simon. And he knows right away. Peter knows right away. Oops. He's calling me Simon again. Like myself at home when I was called Lawrence. Amen. Greg, I don't know what your mother called you when there was the name she called you that knew you were in big trouble. But when somebody called me Lawrence, I think this can't be good. Jesus would look at Peter and call him Simon because he was falling back to the old ways. Thank you, Lord. And now you know the other story too. Peter said that he would give his life for Jesus. Told him himself, I would die for you. And it's not too long after that where he denies him three times. You know that story too. I know you know that story. Jesus is taken from the garden and take him in. And he's going to be questioned. And they're outside. All the disciples are scattered. And somebody said, hey, there's one of the guys who put Jesus. And they walk over to Peter. And they say, you were with him. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Is that us? How many times in our life have we denied him? Two times, three times, four times? Too afraid to talk about Jesus? Too afraid to say that we're Christian? Too afraid to say that we're believers to say God bless you? God loves you? My God doesn't demand anything of you. He desires your love. He desires you to follow him and give him love. That's my God. He doesn't have any demands. All are welcome in my Father's house. But how many times have we denied him? How many times have we not said something about him when we had the door open because we were too afraid, because we were in our comfort zone and we didn't want to start any trouble? People in the world today don't have any problem starting trouble. The names that they're calling people and the things happening in the world, they don't worry about it. We got to be different. We got to admit we love Jesus. There's nothing afraid about loving Jesus. In fact, people are hungry. Let me say again, hungry for what you have. So Peter denies him three times. Can you imagine what it felt like? Can you imagine the times when you maybe denied him or maybe you did something that you knew wasn't right in his eyes? Jim, can you imagine how it felt to Peter? He loved Jesus. There's no doubt because Jesus picked him. He knew the man that Peter was. Would your name be like Peter's in the Bible, dog, Johnny? Would you be like that? Would it be? Because when Jesus comes back after the resurrection, when you read the Bible, you know the first person he asked for? He asked for Peter. He wanted, can you imagine why he asked for Peter? When you read it after resurrection, Pat, the first person he said, where is Peter? Because he knew the pain that Peter was in for denying him, for not being strong enough, and for the pain that was in Peter's heart, that he wanted to heal him. And not touch him and lay his hands on, but heal his heart by saying that he loved him. Amen? There's so much of that that we do every day where God is calling us to heal others. And we fall short to doing that. We fall short to praying for somebody. Laying your hands on somebody's shoulder that doesn't feel good. Giving somebody a hug that doesn't feel good. Giving them the healing. And sometimes we're afraid to do that. That was Peter. He was afraid to do that. And Peter turned after, and we read the book of Acts, you'll find that Peter became so bold, he became like the unproclaimed leader of the apostles. He was the one that spoke on the day of Pentecost. He was the one that spoke in the upper room. He was one of the leaders of the apostles because his faith, he finally caught up to his faith and his boldness, the person that he was, the person that he is on the inside, ended up blessing him to be able to talk about God. Can you understand that? His boldness actually was what Jesus was looking for, not his failure, because we all fail, but his boldness, his courage. He knew he had courage, and he knew that when he finally caught up to that courage, he would do great and mighty things for God, and God would lift him up. Amen? Give Peter praise now, because he did the right thing. That's you. Thank you, Lord. Are you Peter today? Have you ever felt like Peter? Men, I got one more, and then I got a special prayer. You're going to think I'm absolutely out of my mind, but I got a prayer. I don't know if you all believe with me or not, but I got a prayer because I believe, that this world is on the precipice of seeing something so great, seeing God's hand move. I really think we're this close. Whether it can happen or not, we're probably 1,000 miles apart. But I'm seeing something as I read my Bible that can be so spiritually powerful, where there'll be no doubt that God exists. I want to talk to you about one more person. This might be you. How many have been educated? You all been educated? Some people think I'm pretty smart. I went to school. I graduated. I went to college. This man was highly educated. He knew the Bible inside out. He was a strong man of the Bible. Hated Christians. Hated them. He believed that Christians were going to destroy his religion, the Judaism religion, the religion of the Jews, the Hebrew religion. He thought Jesus was an attack on his belief. And he thought that with every bone in his body. This man wanted to be great in man's eyes. He wanted to be the Pharisee of Pharisees. He wanted people to look at him and call him great, the people around him. He went to school. He knew what he was doing. He knew the Bible. He knew those 5 books inside out. But he knew that this Jesus couldn't be real. And I'm going to go and I'm going to take them and I'm going to kill them. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to take their children and their families and I'm going to destroy them. That was his goal. And he was college filled. He was scholarly. So if you think, and he had his own business too. Anybody here work for yourself? This guy was a tent maker. There's not a lot of use for tent makers today, I guess. Or elevator operators. Phone operators, we don't have those young fellas, but we used to have people when you got a telephone, I don't mean like your cell phone, we had this thing with a wire that you can only go so far and had, and you picked it up. This was great though, you dialed 0 and some person would come and talk to you on the phone just like that. That's operator. They know about that. That's cool. And you want the number and you ask them you want the number for Apollo Pizza and they give it to you and you write it down and that was great. Remember that? And they when long before, they had this guy used to come every day delivering milk. So nobody had to go out for milk. He brought it to you and put it in a box and took the empty bottles with him when he left. So you didn't have to, what do you call that with the bottles and stuff? Yeah, right. You didn't have to spread it out. And he would bring it to you every day. Fresh milk. Who thought of that? It's gone now. Yeah, with the cream on top. So a lot of, I don't remember what it was. Oh yeah, he's a scholarly man. He hated the Christians. He asked the church to give him permission to go into Jerusalem, to go to Bethlehem and get any of the believers. He said, any people of the way, I want to take them out of their house, their children, and I want to bring them back here, and we want to destroy this now, because this is going to destroy the Jewish nation. Y'all know what his name was, right? His name was Saul. And a strange thing happened to this scholarly man, this tent maker, this man who knew all this information, this bright man of power who was going to be great in man's eyes. He met somebody along the road to Damascus. He met Jesus. He stopped. Jesus stopped him right in his tracks. He said, Saul, why are you doing this to me? He said, who are you? He said, I'm the Lord. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you destroying my people? And it was so amazing that the Bible said there's a bright light shone. And the other people couldn't hear anything, but Saul was talking to God. And the people were just astonished because they knew something was happening, but they didn't know what it was. But God had stopped him in his tracks. And when it was over, he couldn't see anymore. He had scales on his eyes. He was blind. So they had to lift him up and take him. And he knew where he had to go, and they brought him to this man's house, Ananias' house, because they were going to bring him there to be prayed on and hands laid on him so that he would get back his sight and he would understand what being a Christian meant. He would start to understand Jesus. He would start to see the wrongs that he so boldly thought were right, were wrong. Now, we've had those days with God in all our lives that God is wrong and I'm right and I know what I'm doing and it's my way or the highway. How many have ever said that? Boy, I use that line more than once. And how wrong? But this man came to these people and they laid hands on him and they prayed over him. And he went and spent time with them, being ministered to by these people who love Jesus, by the people who follow Jesus. And God changed his name to Paul. And Paul gave his heart to God. Now, was it easy? Let me tell you, see if you can relate to me. Anybody here go back and remember the first time you gave your heart to God or when it started to change your life, when you read the Word of God and said, you know, I'm going to follow this. I'm going to do more of this. What your friends said? Oh, I got a bunch. Trust me. I got friends that laughed at me. I got friends that said, you're crazy. You know, no, I want this. I want to do more. I love this Bible. I want to go to church. I want to go to church and hear this word. I want to learn about I don't want to learn about rules and regulations. I don't want to stand, kneel, and sit. I want to go and hear joy. I want to hear God's word taught to me. I want to know. You understand, everybody in that area knew who Paul was. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So when he started coming around to the synagogues, he went into that synagogue and said, I want to tell you about Jesus today, everybody. They sat and looked at him and said, are you kidding me? That guy? I know that guy. He kills all the Christians. I'm not listening to him. But they had to stop. Eventually, they had to let him in because he was called by God. And his words started to ring true. And people started to listen. And he started to admit the wrongs that he had done. He started to admit the foolish thoughts he had. He started to admit what he thought was right was completely wrong. Can I get an amen? Nobody believed him. What a place to be. What a place to be talking about God and nobody believes you. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Is that part of your life? He hated the Christian faith. He knew the Bible and he sought Christians. He thought the Christians were attacking God. Paul turned out to be the apostle of the Gentiles. You know what that means? Us. Not the chosen nation, not the Hebrew nation, but an apostle to the Gentiles. His words fill up most of the New Testament. His letters to Corinthians, to Galatians, those are Paul's letters. Those are Paul's urgings from a man who gave his life to God and changed his life. Those are the people that God called today. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Those are people that God called, a tent maker today. And this man who thought he was going to be great and powerful ended up being great and powerful, but not in man's eyes, whose eyes? You see the difference? God, when God lifts you up and raises you up, trust me, nobody will be able to hold you back. When God opens a door for you, nobody will be able to shut it. That's the God that we're looking for. That's the God who hungers for you to love Him like that. That's the God that wants you to be Paul today. Whatever you're doing today, David, whatever you're feeling today, He wants you to be Paul today. He wants you to be bold. He wants you to be Peter today. He wants you to be bold enough to tell others, not be afraid, because He will lift you up. See, we're all in this Bible. But if Jesus came through those doors today, what would you say to Him? What would He say to you? How would you be? What would He call you? I wrote some things down here. Hallelujah. Peter was a fisherman. John, the book of John. Everybody read John? Not that John, but John. Guess what John was? A fisherman. He wasn't just a river. This was his livelihood. Understand? He had a business. He was running a business, and he left his business to serve God. Amen? I understand that. When people, I understand that sometimes you feel like nobody's going to listen to you, that people were going to laugh at you and going to mock you. But remember what Paul went through and what he faced. You don't face anything like that. You have the freedom to tell people. Matthew was a tax collector. And back in those days, they're like politicians back then. I don't mean to be funny, but that's the truth. Tax collectors were stealing people's money. They were charging over taxes. They were burdening people with taxes. And Paul was a simple tent maker. I say, what job do you have? What calling do you have? God can and will use you. And I would ask you this, what would the Bible say about you today, Chuck? What would it say about you? How you're serving Him and the way that you love Him. And but you see, remember, the Bible is true. I want the Bible to be true. There's things in this Bible that we don't want to read, but they're true, because I want the Bible to tell me the truth. And I know that I fall short. I know that Peter fell short. Amen. He denied Him. I know we're going to be like that. I know where Paul was starting. I know John was the same way. He was bold, but he had no discipline. I know Matthew was a tax collector, but God changed him. So we're all like these people in the Bible today, right here, 2018. This is where we live in this Bible. But it's true. You could be Mary. You could be Martha. You could be Peter. You can be Paul. You can be anything you want, and God will lift you up. Amen. You don't have to be president. You don't have to be rich. Now, here's the prayer. Allow me 5 more minutes. This is the prayer I want for you to pray with me. There's something going on. Hopefully it goes on next month. I don't know when it is, but they're talking about things. And I'm not talking about politics. I don't know how you feel about the president. It doesn't, regardless. I'm talking about God today. We're talking to a man, hopefully soon, who's the leader of a country in darkness. Food, freedom, they have no freedom. They have no way of life like we do. You can't even go there and leave without getting all kinds of trouble. There's no freedoms there. There's darkness. But this man is the ruler. He's the ruler. He's like Paul. He rules this nation, and he's a powerful man. He has everything at his fingertips. He has all the money at his fingertips. All these things he can do, but the country is dying. The country, his people behind him are dying. He's spending all this money on things that are not going to benefit his people, only make him look great in the world's eyes. But the truth of the matter is, he has nothing, because it's all behind. The people are suffering. There's a land where people are suffering. In this world, in 2018, there's a nation where people live in darkness after 8 o'clock. They don't have newspapers like you do. They don't have the internet like you do. They don't have phones like you do. They don't have freedoms. Trust me, it's not the same. And this man, for whatever reason, is willing to talk about things. You could say he's an evil man. He is an evil. He's had people killed. Listen to me. This man has had people killed for falling asleep during one of his speeches. If he looks out and somebody's sleeping, he has a murder. He killed his brother a year and a half ago because he was afraid his brother was going to take something from him. So this man, you call him a crazy man, whatever. This man today has the opportunity to be Paul. We have the opportunity to see that if this man comes and talks to us and sees how great, let me say that again, how great he could be in the world if he stops and turns his country around, opens the doors to his country, and lets his country be free. Do you imagine how great he would be in the history books 50 years from now? What he did to turn his country around? Now, there were people in his country, you might not have heard this, last week, they went somewhere to see one of the things he blew up. He had one of the silos. And they said they were on the train 2.5 hours on the train. And they had to have all the curtains pulled down. Nobody was allowed to look out the window because of whatever they would see. They're in darkness. But this man, and this is my prayer because I see it, it doesn't matter what you feel politically, it doesn't matter. Understand, we are right here. We are so close to seeing something so great in front of our eyes. If this man decided today, I'm going to set my people free. I want to be great in the world, not just here, not just in my little country. I'm going to open the doors and give my people a life. Give my people freedom. Give my people hope that they don't have. Can you imagine how biblically powerful that would be? How wonderful that would be for the world? How it would change world opinion? And how it would open the door for Jesus to do so much more. I'm believing that this is something so great. That's why I'm praying for it. Because I want to see Paul. I want to see Saul change into Paul. I want to see a man who has stopped at the borders and not done anything to open up his world. Isn't that an amazing prayer? I mean, it's so powerful to think about what could happen. What we could see in our own eyes in the next year, year and a half. It would be so unbelievable. It would be God. It would be miraculous. That's why I'm praying for it. You know, I know all the evils and I know all the everything else he's done, but I see what Paul did. Paul murdered Christians. He murdered people. He children. He didn't care who they were. I saw the depth of evil in Paul when he was Saul. And I see it. And I see what Paul wrote most of our New Testament. So if you were living back in those days and you were in a church and Paul walked in, you would have ran out the door faster than you knew what to do with. But here we are talking about what Paul did. And I'm believing that we might see something so unbelievable. So would you pray that with me today? Would you pray that God's hand somehow moves there? So words are spoken that move this man to let his people free. Just like the Pharaoh, just like in Egypt. Let my people free. And he would be, in the history books, one of the greatest men in history 50 years from now, that he set his nation free to prosperity. That's what God is calling us to do. Let's all pray together. Just pray with me for a minute. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to see the mighty hand that you have, the blessings that you do, the miracles that you perform day and night, Lord. So we're believing and wanting to see something so great. We see your hand in this, Lord. We see it, Lord. We see Bible times coming to life today, Lord. We saw a man in the Bible who killed Christians, who turned his life around in the middle of the night, turned his life around to serve you, to serve man, to help us, all of us, to write these letters for us, to give us a way to God, an understanding of God. Lord, we see miracles. This is a miracle the world will not be able to deny, Lord. So we're calling on you, Lord, to help us see it through. Help us give the words and the spirit. Give him a spirit to understand what he has in front of him. Give this man, even though he might be evil today, an understanding of what he might have if he just stopped and let his people go. If he just turned the page and let his country go into prosperity. What he would gain then, all that he would gain is 1,000 times 1,000 more than what he has today. He just has to see that, Lord. So I pray that somebody give him that thought. You give him that spark. I pray that you touch him like you did Paul, Lord. I pray that you open his eyes, open people around him, Lord, that they see how great you are and how great they can be in the world's eyes. So much is here, Lord, in this Bible. I thank you for this sermon today, Lord. I thank you that you gave it to me in the joy in receiving it and sharing it, Lord, that we all are part of this Bible. We all live in it, whether we're Mary, Martha, whether we're Peter, whether we're Paul, whether we're John or James or Luke, we're all the same. You call fishermen, tax collectors, tent makers. You call us all. You call musicians. You call doctors and lawyers. Call us today, Lord, and we're going to answer for this church. We're believing for great and mighty things, Lord. Help us find our way. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise.
You probably think I'm crazy, but I don't know.
you're not crazy and take chances, you'll never get... I want to get out of my comfort zone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ushers. Today we read about men in the Bible. And we read about what Jesus did to those men, for those men, and how he changed those men. So this morning as we do the Lord's Supper, let it change you this morning. Let it move you even just a little further closer. Each step you take, God will be able to use as we remember what Jesus did for us. Thank you, Lord. Once for all. God said you can be great. He's called you. You came here today to hear the word of God. Your heart is in the right place. Your spirit is in the right place. Open up. He says you can be great. You can do great and mighty things for him. You can fill people with hope and heal them and give them love and compassion. That's powerful because of what Jesus did for us. In Jesus' name. God looks down from heaven, there's a filter. And when he's looking through the picture of us, he sees us covered in the blood of his son. He calls us sons, heirs to the kingdom, family. Just because we love his son, we're saved by the blood of Christ. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities today. Whatever we fell short with this week, Lord, whatever we did, however we felt, Lord, forgive us, Lord. Because we know the Bible says we sin against God, not against man. Help us, Lord, to be stronger. Help us to see whether we're Mary or Martha or Peter or Paul, that we can do so much more together. That life can be better. We don't have to be disciplined. We don't have to be afraid. God will help us through. Help us and heal us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Stephen. Receive the healing this morning, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins this week, our iniquities. Help us, Lord. Those men in the Bible, those women in the Bible are no different than we were. Ruth, Deborah, no different, same. It was their faith that made them great. Their faith that healed them. God used people who were willing to learn, willing to try. The woman at the well, she met him one time and went and told all her family about him. The centurion who had the servant homesick, saying, I know, Lord, if you say he's healed, he's healed. And Jesus saying, I have not found so much great faith in this than is this man. That should be you. We should be the centurion who simply knows when God says something, it's going to happen. Thank you, Lord. That woman at the well who wasn't a scholarly woman, who saw and understood what she was looking at, could not wait to go home and tell her family and her friends about who she met. Thank you, Lord. God chooses us to serve him. Thank you, Father, for this day. The Bible says we should do this in remembrance of him. We do this every Sunday. In remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus, in Jesus' name. Be healed, church. Be bold. Be strong. Know that God is with you and leading you. Trust him more today. Give him praise, church.